We're in Luke 8:25, and we're studying the word faith. So we're not going to Luke 8:25 because we've already been there. Let's look at Hebrews 11. There is no more important word than faith. And it is probably the most misunderstood word in modern Christianity. If you remember, the takeaway from the conversion experience was that I could never again do anything to help myself. And so in the years that I tried to find a church, every time that they talked about having faith to get something from God, even salvation, I got sick to my stomach. Because even though I didn't know all the right words and all of the Bible references, I knew that getting was the antithesis of faith. And yet, that's all I heard. How to get, how to get, how to be, how to do, how to have. Then I remembered I went into a Christian bookstore very early on, trying to see if there could be something that would help. And almost every book in the store, other than the Bible sections, was a how-to. And it blew me away. And so then it became obvious to me that no one probably would ever believe what I had to say. Because nowhere did I see evidence of what I had seen and known to be true. But fortunately, then I started seeing it. I saw evidences of it in Oswald Chambers. And I saw some evidences of it in Norman Grubb's writings. And I found that book, it isn't really about doctrine, it's about the history, but it's The Life and Times of Jesus, the Messiah, by Edersheim. Anyway, so I began being consumed with those things instead of worrying about whether anybody believed me or not. I had a secretary that believed me, Gene Watts. And she kept screaming at me, "You can't have a ministry without a body. You can't have a ministry without a body." So I joined Highland Park Methodist Church because it's the only church that I saw that had every aspect of Christianity in it, from the charismaniacs to the ultra-liberals. And they asked me to teach a Bible study, so I taught a Bible study. And very soon they asked me not to teach anymore. And then again, I went to the main pastor, Leighton Farrell, and I went through everything that I was teaching in the Bible with him. We spent a whole day. And he said, "Ole, I see nothing wrong with what you're teaching. But you need another witness. You need a body. So here was a heavy-duty preacher that was telling me the same thing my secretary told me. So I set aside a day. I said, okay, on Tuesday nights at 7:30, I'm going to start teaching. So the first ones to come were Margot and Larry Gabrant. And they came for a while, and Pete started coming because he heard me on the radio. But Pete was driving 60 miles to come from. But then Larry and Margot came to talk to me and said, "Ole, we don't even know how to pray anymore." And I said, "That's the best news I've heard." And so they laughed mad at me. And so it was just, and then slowly but surely others started coming. But the point of it is, it all had to do with this meaning of faith. It still shocks me that anyone listens to me. Because it's the opposite of everything your mind says and wants. It's that thing that Harry used to say, consider the possibility that everything that you know, everything that you've ever learned, everything that you've ever been taught is wrong. So we've talked about the seven mountains, and faith takes kind of a different look on those seven mountains and the high places. But once you say, "Father, I'm yours," without condition, then faith is a totally different dimension that has absolutely nothing to do with you except as an empty vessel. And so that's what we're going to try to cement in each of our minds, what faith from God's standpoint really is. Amen? So what's going on, Gary? You're doing it. You started doing it about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but I didn't like your sentence, cement in our minds.
Huh?
I didn't like cement in our minds.
I do, because it's let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, so there's no more two of you. You got to get rid of the two. You can't have two. The double-minded man is unstable in everything he does. Parts of time he's, one thing that, because he's got two minds.
Yeah, he's trying to work it in the earthly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom and make them both work for him.
Anybody else have any response to any of this thing about faith? Did faith bother anybody else? Or did you just want faith to get something?
At one time, yes.
I was bothered by different things.
You were bothered by a tall Norwegian.
No, actually I was bothered by people who were convinced that you can convince someone to go to heaven by making them afraid of hell. That's what bothered me about the church.
All right, anyway, that's the predicate for 11. It's Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not faith. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, why did the elders obtain a good report? He's talking about the elders of faith from Abel onward. They obtained a good report because they saw in the mystery, they saw in the world even, Jesus. They saw Messiah in the offerings. They saw Messiah and they saw it by faith. They didn't see just a bunch of different rites or offerings that had no meaning. They saw Christ in every one of these areas. That's why the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. What does that mean? How can Abel in other places is called a prophet? His blood is prophesying. Here he's called obtaining a good report. He was the first one. How? Because he did not dig around in his dirt trying to come up with something. He saw the mystery of God in the Lamb and crucified it, killed the Lamb. So by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, calling him righteous.
Yeah. Let's spend a minute on Cain and Abel. Go to 1 John. We'll come back to Hebrews. Verse 11, chapter 3. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you. So somehow it's not just that he obtained a good report by faith, it's the evidence that he was manifesting the true love of God. Not by some sloppy agape or romanticism of what you think love is. He manifested the love of God by seeing. Amen? Okay, back to Hebrews. What, anybody, it sounds like there's a disconnect in here. Is it you, Trey?
I'm trying to follow. Yeah, I'm listening and learning. A lot of this is new to me.
You was kidding. You have been around longer.
Maybe use a strong word. I think in all of our hearts, we know that that's true, that we lie to ourselves.
Right. I can't tell you anything you don't already know. If there is no witness in yourself, you should ignore me. Jeff, what's going on? Hearing?
I'm listening.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, or transfigured is what it says, that he should not see death, and was not found because God transfigured him. For before his translation, or transfiguration, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. So how did he please God? We know how he pleased God, because it's the only way to please God. He ignored himself and lived by faith. Even in this ancient of times, somehow he had come to the end of himself. We've talked before about how in those days men lived 600, 700, 800 years. Why? We can tell why, because there was no sun, direct sunlight. The clouds filtered the ultraviolet rays. There was no tension. There was Anyway, that's another story. But why? Why did they have to live that long? They had to live that long to come to the end of themselves. Now that's why there's a body. That's why there's a Seder. The Seder has to have at least 10, but no more than 20. The Seder having at least 10 so that your experiences and your coming to the end of yourself in all of these other areas that others may not have can by your experience empathize and see the end. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean anything if you're not speaking. Not just speaking, not philosophizing. It doesn't mean anything if you're not confessing one to another. Because philosophy just hits the mind. Confession hits the heart. And one confesses the darkness of that and someone else will become light. But that can't happen with philosophizing or psychobabbling or telling you what somebody should do. Amen?
Amen.
So you understand, now we have Abel, first example of faith. Enoch, second example. We don't know, there were many others in between, we don't know who they are. All right, let's see what else we can find. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him or deliberately seek him. Now, what does that mean?
Only one is to do the waiting.
What?
There's only one who pleases him.
Amen.
The one who is faith.
Faith is very simple. Fundamentally, faith is simply Jesus in you believing in himself or in the Father, really. But that can't happen unless you're emptied. Unless you have the mind of Christ.
That's an interesting conundrum. By emptying, you become full. If you don't empty,
well, if you don't empty, he can, again, it's all about his humility. His humility is so great, even though he is the owner of you, the temple of the living God. That's what the word Lord means, Kyros. It means owner. Yet his humility is so great, any time and any place that you are in this temple, he has to take the lower seat. So anytime you're struggling with something or trying to do something, then he has to take the lowest seat. Now, if you can understand that, then life will become a whole lot simpler. And that requires what will happen, by definition, that happens so that you will wait on him. And you will wait on him so that you will finally know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your only self. But that can't happen unless it's made manifest, unless the Word is made flesh by being worked out. And it's worked out by waiting on him, never leaning on your own arm of understanding. Now, he's not going to kill you if you do. But you're in rebellion. That's why it's taken the night of the last day has been taken 2,000 years. Fundamentally because we don't wait on him.
This is at the cellular level.
I don't know what that means.
I've been having these talks with Trey and Tom about physics and DNA and evolution and all this stuff, and get down to the smallest part of who you are. I mean, sometimes repentance only goes so deep, but...
Wait. Now, are we philosophizing here now?
I don't think God minds right now.
I do.
I don't.
So glad you could speak for God, Gary.
It doesn't mean anything unless it's confession.
Well, you can hear me out.
I've been doing that for 38 years.
You hear what I was saying now?
Oh, isn't that special? You got an ally.
No, you always invite discussion, and then you shut it down. So let him finish.
Oh, thank you. Look at here. Look at here. All right, go ahead.
For me, it breaks barriers to think of it in these terms, because repentance has to go to the cellular level. I like the parable of that, because that's the level I want to repent to, where there's nothing in me resisting him. And I know the evilness of my mind, it will trick me and say, okay, you repented now. But if it's that way, it's not true repentance. It's giving a stab at it. So in these conversations, that's what happened in my hearing, was repentance has to go to the source of who you are. Then there's emptiness.
Right.
That's what I was going to say. What do you think, Sue? Pretty good?
She's still fuming.
Get back to me after I get a cup of coffee.
That speaks to me too, because in the same question of, you know, how deep do you go, it's how long does it last? Time is just another measure. And I can believe everything Ole says right now, and 5 minutes from now, outside the door, I'll have forgotten it all. You know, people have, within the last week or so, somebody asked me, what did we talk about yesterday? I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember what we'd done less than 24 hours earlier. Whatever it has to be, I don't really want to get by on it's okay now, it'll be wrong later.
Let me ask you a question. This is the base of repentance can't take place until you know the futility and emptiness and worthlessness of all your actions, all your thoughts. Until you know that, you'll just play at repentance. You'll have the repentance of the world. You get caught. Even you get caught by yourself, it's still a repentance of the world.
I think that's what happens, and you said the same thing. When you go to the core of anything, you find chaos. But you don't find it until you go there. And when you see that, you realize, you know, there's no great intellect that's going to straighten all this mess out. It's
Amen.
Food for repentance at that point.
Even the scripture in Isaiah, which is quoted all the time, come now, let us reason together.
Yeah.
So that's the justification for ad hoc meetings and panels and synods. Come now, let us reason together. They forget the next part. Though your sin be as scarlet, that's the end that reason can take you. It's the same metaphor as with leprosy. If you have leprosy of the forehead, you remember that leprosy, it just means that you're what would you, everybody remember about all about leprosy? What do we have? Okay, well, leprosy of the forehead, anything that has to do with the forehead, whether it's a mark or a sign or whatever it is on your forehead, or a number, it symbolizes how you think. Well, leprosy in the cellular level is a cell stops giving and begins to take from around itself. And so slowly but surely it eats every cell in that domain. And then it spreads and spreads and spreads and spreads. Well, that's why leprosy or cancers does the same thing. And so, but leprosy of the forehead is the simple discussion is that your mind is concerned with self. You as the cell of the body of Christ, your mind is concerned with self. If you have leprosy of the forehead, which is, that's what that means, then you are forever alone. That was the law. You couldn't even be with other lepers. Now, the one tragedy of American culture is this incredible mind-bending aloneness of the people. Now, all the social networks, it's like they're playing another video game or something. It's just more self. And it's just the outward manifestation of the inward reality of leprosy of the forehead. So you can't have real community. You can't, you're forever alone. Even in marriage, you're alone. Well, what's the remedy? The only remedy for leprosy is to see that you are 100% leprous. That's the only time you can be cleansed or declared clean. And that's just the parable. If you can understand that every cell of your body being controlled by your mind is geared towards self, then God can look at you and say and declare you clean. Now your mind is renewed because you think anew, you think differently. You think by emptying, not by solving problems. But what does this have to do with faith? It has everything to do with faith, because there can be no faith until you see you're 100% leprous. Otherwise, you're just trying to use Jesus for your own personal gain. You'll do it subtly. If you're preaching the cross, you'll do it subtly. You won't do it very publicly, or you won't do it around certain people anyway. But your actions prove that you're still self for self. What? What'd you say? What did you say, Ron?
I'm not gonna do it around you.
Around me.
Deliberate.
You got enough justifications and conditions on it now to. Anyway, this is faith 101. This is remedial faith right here. What we're talking about today.
Okay, it's remedial and advanced at the same time.
No, it's not advanced. It's remedial. To you, it's advanced. The land of the blind, a one-eyed man is king.
It's supposed to be simple.
It is so simple, it's mind-bending.
Good. It doesn't need to be advanced. It's the graduate course, the remedial course at the same time.
It's kind of like Feliz Navidad.
Don't even. Explain what you mean, please.
Feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
I'm going to choke up.
Ronnie, what does that mean?
Feliz Navidad?
I know what it means, but what does it mean to do with it, have to do with the conversation we're having?
Probably nothing.
Oh, okay. Thanks for your input. Anyway, any other thoughts on the beginnings of faith?
It doesn't make you regret that you got him going to Bible study, doesn't it?
What? What'd you say, Tom?
I said it does make you kind of regret that you got him up for the morning Bible study, doesn't it?
I didn't get him up.
Yeah, it's a TV
board. No, as I said at the beginning of this Bible study, and I'll say it at the end, this understanding of what faith is and what it isn't, we just read it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So everything else is just commentary. You know what? Let me give you an example of what they've done. I first heard Copeland do it, and then I've heard every other one of them do it afterwards. And the subject of the sermon is now faith. They took a word that was an explanatory word to give the importance of the next word to what it is the meaning of time. Now faith. And now faith is what you need to gain $20 million so you can buy a Citation 10. Anyhow, that's another story. Any other? Everybody say amen?
Yeah, that's the exact opposite of everything we talk about.
I know. Mr. Bojo? Mr. Josanna? Amen? Take a big guy.
You decide about Pentecost.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know if they want to.
Well, let's just do it real quickly. I think we decided. We said we're going to go ahead and leave it like it is.
No. We have an opportunity for any weekend except the first weekend in May. But we need to give a first, second, and third choice.
Okay.
So, I can talk to Judy.
What were we scheduled for?
We were scheduled for the 1st through 3rd of June.
We were afraid that would be too hot.
And we thought that might be too hot, and also all three boys are graduating.
Remember, there's no air conditioning there. And there is in the rooms, but there's not in that main area. Right.
Well, there is some, but
it wasn't sufficient. Yeah. I mean, there were, even last time, we were very hot, so we were concerned about it.
So it's Memorial Day, the best shot.
Well, I don't know. We just need to give them 1, 2, 3.
Well, let's give them.
I'd say a week before, wouldn't you?
They'll give them three. We'll give them three options.
I would like to. If we have to. That's what she asked for. I personally would love for it to be Memorial Day weekend, just because.
I think that'd be the best.
Then Monday you have off, and
right.
You know.
Yeah, let's do that.
Plus, it's just back there.
Well, that's. But I didn't think
but
that was available.
Yes, it is.
Well, let's go for that. Then the next one, the week before that.
And then the
week after.
Okay.
And that.
So are you going to meet with Judy?
I'm going to see her shortly, yeah.
Okay. And we're going to have a layer meeting, so I'll see her then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll talk to her next
week. First is Memorial Day.
Second
is the week before.
Third
is the week after.
Okay.
Or the week before that, yeah.
So tell me the dates again.
Okay, the first weekend. Memorial Day weekend is like the
27th or something like that.
No, the 26th. Saturday is the 26th.
Okay, so that's just the week before we had thought.
It's 1 week ahead.
And that would be, in many ways, that would be perfect.
I would be that would be perfect. Unless somebody already has something they're doing.
Well,
that's why I want to check with Judy.
Yeah, I mean, we can't meet everybody's needs, but it's important. I think we meet the needs of the guys graduating and everything, because I'd like to go to that, too. So.
Yeah, me too. And it also means, you know, they won't be tied up.
Plus, we're going to bring Stella and Dexter.
Yeah.
All
right. Hey, I'm
going to
bring Charlie and
Dewey.
No, no.
Maybe Ed can bring history dogs. Chance in hell.
Come on,
equal opportunity.
Yeah.
You said you're going to bring Charlie and Dewey?
Yeah.
You bring Nick. Stella would eat them.
That would be a good thing. You can bring them to feed the fishes.
I thought maybe you'd bring them to the shooting range.
Sweet. We all dogs.
Like you said, alone.
Hey,
leave it out, dog.
No problem. I go.